Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So they gathered together, all of those bridesmaids. Every one of them is a little giddy with excitement because the wedding celebration is almost upon them. So as they await the coming of the bridegroom, they laugh together, they tell stories, they all check and make sure that they brought the lamp their mom sent with them. Eventually, they sit down, and even later, they fall asleep for a little bit. But then an announcement rings out, waking everybody up. The bridegroom is coming! And so, in that groggy confusion, after waking up, the five who had extra oil trimmed their lamps, and the five who didn't have extra first ask for some, if I can borrow a little bit, but then they rush off to go buy some. So when the bridegroom comes, the ones waiting come into the party, and the ones who are somewhere else are left out. Now when Jesus tells this story, he calls five of the bridesmaids wise, and he calls five of them foolish. And for years, I thought I understood what Jesus was talking about, but as the years went by, I began to wonder, what makes those foolish brides foolish? For years and years, through countless sermons and Bible studies, I had been led to believe that the wisdom and the foolishness in this parable came all down to a question of oil. Which, of course, then means that this entire parable boils down to verses 3 and 4, where Jesus tells us that when the foolish, you know, took their lamps, they took no oil, but the wise, when they came, they had oil with them. And so it's really all about oil, right? And of course, it's not really lamp oil we're talking about, but within the context of the parable. You know, as we look at the analogy and the metaphor that Jesus is using, it's about oil. But if we're looking at that whole parable, right, the bridegroom is Jesus, right? The bridesmaids are children of God who are awaiting the coming Messiah. So the oil has to be the good works that we keep up so that we can shine with the light so that all the world can see, right? That's what it's got to be. So if that's the case, if Jesus is telling a story where we're all reminded that we have to keep all of those good works, then Jesus has truly stepped right into his Pharisee shoes as he urges all of us to not only have a lamp full of good deeds, but also to have lots and lots of extra. You can hear someone saying, isn't it wonderful? We need to follow the mitzvot and we need to urge others to do the same thing, because that's what those wise maidens were doing when they sent the foolish out to go find some more oil. Now, this has been the overwhelming consensus of voices that I heard throughout the years. You have to have extra oil. You not only have to be good, but really good, and only then will you get into the wedding party. But does that sound like Jesus? Have we heard our Lord urging us to success and stockpiling? Have we watched Jesus looking at balance sheets before he was willing to help someone or heal someone, before feeding or teaching? No, we haven't. We have seen a Lord moved by compassion, reaching out to men and women, to Jew and Gentile, those with plenty of oil and those who are running out. We have seen a Lord reaching out to anyone and everyone, caring for them as if they were sheep without a shepherd. So would Jesus really wait until this late in his ministry to add the new wrinkle of you gotta have extra oil? The Apostle Paul has always contended that what we need is Jesus and only Jesus. The heart of Paul's writings is that it's not Jesus and something else. It is Jesus alone who saves us, frees us, befriends us, stands beside us. And then the Jesus that we meet in the Gospels is a Jesus who shows God's love to all people, whether they're good or not, whether the world believes they deserve it or not. And so from the Syrophoenician woman to Zacchaeus, from the Gerasene demoniac to Lazarus, through Jesus, God's love goes out to individuals and to whole crowds. It goes to all who are there around him. So then why is it that because of this parable, we think that oil is the standard? Now, there are others who believe that what the oil represents is really readiness. You've got to be ready. Even Jesus says things like, be prepared and stay alert, so that if the oil is readiness, I can maybe kind of stand up to that, because we are called to be prepared. But we're called to be prepared for a celebration. The wedding feast, the coming of Jesus, is something to celebrate and not to dread. Would we rather hear, be prepared, in a kind of creepy, scary voice? Or would you rather hear the beginning of SpongeBob? Are you ready, kids? Yeah, that's what it is. We need to be prepared to share the joy that fills us in the presence of Jesus. I really wish, back up, I think that what makes those foolish maidens foolish has nothing to do with oil, but the fact that when the bridegroom arrives, they're somewhere else. They have been distracted by oil and by lamps, by wicks and all kinds of other things. They've gone off somewhere else looking for something. Do they need extra oil? Did they have to rush off? I don't think so. The bridegroom that we meet in Jesus would welcome even those maidens with failing lamps, because they were invited there in the first place and they were supposed to be there. The reason that they aren't at the party is because they leave. How often aren't we, or people we know, distracted by all kinds of other things that we think that we need so that we can add something to God's grace? Don't we have to do good works or follow the commandments or pray for specific gifts from God by the Holy Spirit? Now, any of these things can be helpful and useful in our participating in God's kingdom, as we're loving our neighbors, as we're trying to bring God's love to all. But none of them saves us. Jesus does. From the font of our baptism to this table, we are all of us invited. We are all of us called. We are all of us brought to this moment so that the love of God might come and be with us always. This invitation from God then brings us to the marriage feast of Christ our Lord. So we are here. We are waiting. We are feeling the excitement and the joy of following Jesus as a child of God. Today, Jesus is teaching us not to be distracted. Love God and love our neighbors. That is our calling. It's not that we are called to earn God's acceptance and love, but rather we love our neighbors in response to the love that we have already received from God. Amos, in our reading from today, shows us that it's not sacrifices or feast days that's important, but it's rather justice and righteousness shared with neighbors that God calls us to. And so Jesus is telling us not to let anyone distract you with demands of gifts or deeds, with demands for success or some kind of positive image. That can again all be good, but it can also lead us away from seeing the needs of our sisters and brothers, from seeing the needs of those who are least and lost, left out, and outcast. They can lead us away from opportunities to share the joy, even if it's the joy of waiting, the daily joy that we know that the presence of God is with us, the joy that we see and know as the blessing that God gives to us, even in the face of our losing, in spite of our pain, our grieving, or our hunger. God is with us and calls us to remain in that truth, calls us to discover joy even when we are hanging out in the dark. You see, I wish there was one last character in this story. I wish there was an 11th bridesmaid. And while she didn't bring extra oil, she stayed behind with the others who had. Because I believe that when the bridegroom arrived, she would be welcomed just as much as all of them with bright filled lamps. She would be welcomed. She would be welcomed into the party because she was invited and she was supposed to be there. See, too often I can be as foolish as the maidens who rush off to find some oil or whatever. Too often I think that I need to do something so that God will want to be around me. The truth is that I can never earn God's presence, and I don't ever deserve it. But another truth, even more powerful than that, is that I am invited. I'm supposed to be part of God's family by the amazing love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are invited to the joy of every day. We are invited to the joy of the coming Messiah. We are invited to share that joy with everyone we meet. Now, sometimes we do that with all of the aplomb of those wise maidens in the story who have plenty. Other times, we find ourselves struggling in the dark, trying to find a way to live and love, to share, and even survive. God loves us regardless. And God celebrates with us the love that Jesus brings, the love that Jesus lives, the love that we receive every day. So let us not be distracted, and instead, let us keep awake for all of the ways that we get to share God's love today. Amen.